Coming up next is the show you've been waiting for, Black Op Radio. You're listening to the Fiasco Brothers Radio Network.
Video computers online. Archiving 44K. Initiate sequence.
T-minus 30 seconds.
Server connection confirmed.
T-minus 25 seconds.
Live stream for 220K.
T-minus 20 seconds.
Phone lines are go.
T-minus 15 seconds.
Satellite uplink verified.
T-minus 10 seconds.
Mic check complete. Satellite uplink verified.
5, 4, 3, 2,
Welcome to Black Op Radio, the voice of political conspiracy research. You're listening to Black Op Radio, the show NSA doesn't want you to hear. Now here is your host, Leno Sanek.
Well, hello, this is Leno Sanek for Black Op Radio, show number 314, and yes, we are on the air. I'm joined with a guest in the studio today. We have a great privilege to have Les Mirza here. He produced a great album. It's called Inside Job, Music to Indict Them By. And when I first got it, it came kind of in a brown paper wrapper. I didn't know what to make of it. And since then, I've been playing it night and day. It's fantastic, and first of all, welcome, Les.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I work in the recording industry. I've been recording albums and bands for 30 years, so I hear so much music, so many demos people send in. I don't get excited that easily right away, and I can't remember at a time in the last 5-10 years that somebody sent me something and I got excited about it. It was like unbelievable to me. It was so coherent and well thought out. We were playing this before the show and various weeks, and we'll play excerpts from it. But before we get too much into the album that we're going to be playing here tonight, just tell me a little bit about yourself and what got you interested into creating this.
Sure. Well, I live here in Vancouver, and I'm a practicing playing musician and a composer of music. And I've been interested in the 9/11 inside job topic for quite some time. And what I found was I was walking around with my iPod, listening to countless interviews about the topic, interviews with Jim Fetzer, David Ray Griffin, Alex Jones interviewing various people, George Nori interviewing people, and I was so excited by the topic being discussed that I found myself listening to it at the same time as I was practicing music. Started to end up playing along with it a little bit, and thought I'd take a stab at writing a couple of songs and editing the information that I was listening to along with the music. And it kind of just grew out of that. I had this concept for the entire piece from start to finish in a way, and just decided to go for it and see if I could complete the project. It took me probably about 4 months to edit it all together.
So you had a vision right from the get-go, and you just had to put it together.
In a way, I did. I had so many of the topics I wanted to discuss or have discussed in the album that I knew I wanted in there. So I knew basically the topics of each of the songs, and I was just, it was actually a matter of pulling out quotes rather than putting in quotes, because there was just so much information that I wanted to convey.
Right. Okay. Why don't we play the first couple in a row? I mean, the thing is, it's kind of a concept album, so in one way it's it kind of breaks it up. When I put it on driving, whatever, I just let the whole thing roll, and it's under an hour, but we're going to make this available at Black Op Radio, because I really enjoy this, and I really want to urge people to support your work. This is an album that is worthwhile purchasing. I already did myself, even though I did get a complimentary copy, so I'm happy to support you, and let's play the first couple of songs, and then we'll discuss a little bit more about each topic, because you've categorized the thing well. and it really does flow. It takes you. It's like a well thought out movie. I mean, it just really moves along and flows.
It's very cinematic in nature, in that you can really see the visuals passing by as the album goes.
Right. We're going to play from Inside Job, Music to Indict Them By. Here we go.
United 93, United 93, do you hear Cleveland? United 93, United 93, Cleveland. My fellow Americans, let's roll. You will not escape the justice of this nation. You will not escape the justice. You will not escape. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. And neither do we. Third time I've said that. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. To sink in. To kind of catapult the propaganda. This nation hostile or hold our allies hostile. The danger to our country is grave. The danger to our country is growing. The Iraqi regime possesses biological and chemical weapons. The regime has long-standing and continuing ties to terrorist organizations. And there are al-Qaeda terrorists inside Iraq.
Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Of mass destruction.
A clear threat to the United States.
There's dozens of ballistic missiles. It is sponsored and sheltered terrorists.
Paying suicide bombers.
Weapons for influence.
Biological weapons, including anthrax and botulism toxins. Biological and chemical agent to kill millions of people.
Chemical weapons, including BX and sarin, mustard gas.
To a massive and sudden,
massive death and destruction. Death on a massive scale. On a massive scale.
We don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud.
Massive death and destruction. Death on a massive scale.
We cannot wait for the final proof. The smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
Massive death and destruction. Death on a massive scale.
Someone is waiting for a so-called smoking gun. It's certain that we will have waited too long.
Will any single prisoner be treated humanely? You bet.
The targeting capabilities and the care that goes into targeting is as impressive as anything anyone could see. The care that goes into it, the humanity that goes into it. He's got him. He's got him. He's got him. Anybody say nice shot?
Nice shot. Hell of a shot.
Find my dad and talk to him any time of the day.
Francis Cave.
Initially, the terrorists may burrow deeper into caves and other entrenched hiding places.
I want him, hell, I want justice. And, there's an old poster out west, as I recall, that said, wanted, dead or alive.
Mr. President, in your speeches now, you rarely talk or mention Osama bin Laden. Why is that?
Who knows if he's hiding in some cave or not? And he's the ultimate parasite. And he's a person who's now been marginalized. We hadn't heard from him in a long time. And excuse me for a minute. So I don't know where he is. Nor do I, you know, I just don't spend that much time on it, I'll be honest with you.
Saddam Al-Qaeda.
Saddam Al-Qaeda.
Saddam the Al-Qaeda.
Saddam, Saddam,
Saddam Al-Qaeda.
Intelligence that we were operating off was correct.
The quality of our intelligence operation, I think we're better than anybody else.
We gathered a lot of intelligence. That intelligence was good, sound intelligence.
And it is true that much of the intelligence turned out to be wrong.
There were not weapons of mass destruction there.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere. No weapons over there.
Separated by seven words.
Before September the 11th, many in the world believed that Saddam Hussein could be contained.
September the 11th, and Saddam Hussein, two sentences later, separated by six words.
I don't think we ever said, at least I know I didn't say, that there was a direct connection between September the 11th and Saddam Hussein.
Who does the president think he's effing kidding?
I was very careful never to say that Saddam Hussein ordered the attacks on America.
United 93, Cleveland. United 93, here, Cleveland Center, I got this.
Hi, if I got in, I would like to order the main team, the home aboard, and going to back to the airport, and I would demand for people to remain quiet.
Okay, it's United 93 calling. United 93, understand, have a bomb on board, go ahead.
You're listening to Black Op Radio.
Well, we just heard a great collection of quotes describing the prelude of 9/11 there, the morning. It's unbelievable, some of those quotes. We're speaking with Les Mirza. The album's Inside Job. Tell us a little bit about those first three
Well, also let me explain that there's something that runs throughout the entire album, and that is the audio interactions between air traffic control and Cleveland as they're following United 93 and discussing what's going on with United 93 with the other pilots that are flying around in that area. And that I string throughout the entire album, and it ends the album. So that's what you heard there at the end of that last track. The pilots are saying they've got a bomb on board, and they want to return to the airport because they have their demands. Which isn't something I ever heard discussed afterwards, the fact that they said they had a bomb on board and that they were going to go back to an airport. Instead, they said that that plane was destined to fly into the White House, or was that not the story?
Yeah, and there have been the reporting is suspect. right? Never mind some of the telephone calls that are made and the whole thing. I don't know how much is propaganda and how much is released right there. Just before, while the track was playing, we were just commenting on the lack of terror alerts now. That I haven't heard one in a long time. But right before the election, every day or second day, it was a terror alert. And you were mentioning you were in an airport.
That's right. I was in the Chicago O'Hare Airport on November 4th, I believe, and they were having terror alerts all day long inside the airport. Code Orange, I believe, Homeland Security, report your neighbor if he looks suspicious, etc. All that kind of stuff going on.
Oh yeah, it's unbelievable. And as you listen to this, it does tell a real good story, and I like the way that it it just kind of chapters roll into another. It's not although they're separate songs, they're part of the whole picture. And
yeah, so those songs really were just about all the disinformation that came out afterwards and sort of blurring the lines between Saddam and Osama bin Laden and who was actually responsible and trying to shift the blame towards Iraq and, you know, all their declarations of weapons.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, we had good intelligence. We had great intelligence. The intelligence is good. And then right after that, right, well, we had faulty intelligence. We didn't know we were going to be so wrong. There's other ones I can think of. I was like, we're going to be greeted as liberators. Not that that was on the other one is... the insurgency's on its last throws,
yes.
Whatever. All the Cheney quotes.
Sure, and in the beginning of the album's also just a chance to play some of the quotes from George Bush that are just so ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, they are. It is unbelievable. Now, tell us about the next little bit, because the last one was "Smoke 'Em Out." Their little titles. You want to read off a few of the titles?
Yeah, first one was called "Justice Squad." Let's roll. And then there was a short 30-second piece called "The Humanity of Donald Rumsfeld." And then there was "Smoke 'Em Out." And next, it moves to Dick Cheney orders NORAD to stand down. And then the one after that is PNAC, Project for a New American Century. The one after that is the new Pearl Harbor. And I'd say that this is where we start to get into the 9/11 material a little bit more than the weapons of mass destruction and the declarations of war to go to Iraq. So that's where it's at now. And so now the planes get hijacked and the information starts to come up.
Okay, let's roll another couple of tracks here. And we're speaking with Les Mercia, the author, producer, and engineer. And you played all the instruments with the help of a computer.
Yes.
Right, so that's great. Guitar, harmonica.
Harmonica. I played some bass and used software instruments for the drums, some of the keyboards.
Right, right. Okay, let's roll.
Planes have been hijacked. They're heading for the two towers, right?
United. 93.
Yeah, that transmission you said was unreasonable. It sounded like someone said they have a bomb on board.
That we thought we didn't get it clear.
We know he was in control, though. Even during the hijackings, the supposed hijackings, he was ordering the stand down. He was ordering the stand down.
Coincidence? We think not.
Do you think because the entire agenda is stalling with the neocons that we're in danger of their parent group carrying out another attack?
I don't know. I hope they don't. I hope that one new Pearl Harbor is enough.
You, Rummy, Wolfowitz, Cheney, Pearl, Fife, all you guys, right?
Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz, both of them, culprits, including Rumsfeld, were part of a neocon group that had been plotting this thing for literally years.
Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Condoleezza Rice, these guys told us what they were going to do. These guys told us what they were going to do. They laid their blueprint out in the Project for the New American Century.
Project for American Century. We need a Pearl Harbor event. Project for American Century. We need a new Pearl Harbor.
They had a document they wrote that spelled out their plan. It's called Project for the New American Century. It was published in 2000. And their document was, ironically, September 2000. Within 12 months, they got their wish in the Project for the New American Century.
Project for American Century. We need a Pearl Harbor event. Project for American Century. We need a new Pearl Harbor. Dick Cheney and Appense, a piece in September 2000. Titled Rebuilding America's Defenses, and he says, we need a Pearl Harbor event. We need to have a terror attack on the border of Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor. We're a member, we are a member of the Project for the New American Century, correct?
I am.
How's that project come? Well, it's part of the New American Century. Looks good to me. Right? I'm speechless. Really?
Yeah, we're sort of. In the Project for the New American Century.
Project for American Century. We need a Pearl Harbor event. Project for American Century. We need a new Pearl Harbor.
The new Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor.
And asked him, what did you think when the first plane hit?
What was the first thing that went through your head when you heard that a plane crashed into the...
Well, I was sitting in a schoolhouse in Florida. I was sitting there and my chief of staff... Well, first of all, when we walked in the classroom, I had seen this plane fly into the first building. There was a TV set on it, and... you know, I thought it was pilot error.
So if there was no live television coverage of the first plane hitting the first tower, how do we explain the following comment from George Walker Bush?
And it was a TV set on.
I guess one of the perks of being president is you get access to TV channels that don't exist in the known universe, correct?
I had seen this plane fly into the first building. It was a TV set on. And
George Bush, he just sits there after he's told the second plane is hit for around 20 minutes and then kind of just ambles out, taking his time.
It was broadcast 3 days in advance, his schedule, correct? The president's schedule?
Yes, sir.
Yes, so if, in fact, he was being informed that the second plane had hit, America's under attack, it would seem to me that upon the revelation of that news, that the Secret Service would grab the president and remove him as if he were on fire from that room.
The whole thing appears to have been a sham, George, a sham. The American government appears to be manipulating the American people on the basis of acts of violence. It all appears to be corrupt.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th. Malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty.
Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Karl Rove, Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Fife, Condoleezza Rice, Jeb Bush, George W.
I don't think we need to be subliminal.
So the government's own theory here that these 19 guys under control of a fellow off in a cave in Afghanistan pulled this off is obviously a conspiracy theory.
It's an absolute lie, and why are you lying if you are attacked in this way?
All right, another excerpt from the album Inside Job, Music to Indict By. And, of course, this is coming over our broadband internet connection, a kind of a lo-fi. So the album is available under products at Black Op Radio if you go there. And it's, really well done. It's a high-quality album and music and samples. And I'm just telling you that it sounds a lot better in here in the control room than it does probably coming out of your computer speakers. So if that's any motivation for you to get up and order it, I highly recommend the album. So let's get back a little bit to what the concept of it. Now, you had mentioned to me maybe earlier that on hearing Jim Fetzer on the George Norrie show in a talk just about 9/11, did this kind of just happen to you over a really brief period of time? Like, did you have any preconceptions before, or is this how did that happen? That you just kind of heard these three or four professors and people, David Ray Griffin, etc., speaking about it,
And maybe Stephen Jones and Morgan Reynolds, I believe they did a show. I think it was in February 2006 on Coast to Coast. And it was the first time I'd ever really heard the topic discussed in that way. I actually wasn't all that familiar with Alex Jones before a year ago.
Right.
And I hadn't been following the online community and all of the videos and articles that have been written. So discussion I heard on Coast to Coast one night just blew me away, especially Jim Fetzer and the sound of his voice, actually, and how much it meant to him and how much he believed his country was being destroyed by this. And it really touched me. And, I found myself listening to these interviews over and over. And I wished that my friends and family had as much interest in it as well. But nobody seemed to have the patience to really sit down and listen to it all. So that's one of the motivations I had behind editing it together in such a way that, it's a 4-minute audio clip, rather than an hour and a half long interview. So really all I've done is I've compiled other people's work,
Yeah, but you've organized it as well. I mean, it really does tell a tale. And so how long it took you said roughly 4 months to make this album?
Yeah, I made several versions of some of the songs and took quotes and put in other quotes. I could just listen to it over and over and over again and just keep mixing and matching and until I found that I had just enough to touch on one topic for 4 minutes and then sort of move on to the next. So maybe the
so that was kind of a time span you were working with in these songs. You're trying to get these 4-minute songs. You have all the different topics laid out from the beginning to the end in a way. And also, the thing about there's a musical theme that's running through it that you kind of keep referring back to. And also, you said also with the editing, the Flight 93. Even though it tells one section, it goes back to there and then it continues on.
The album doesn't lay out the story of 9/11 in order. it kind of goes back and forth, you know. Already he's declaring war in the beginning of the album,
right,
based
yeah.
on the events of 9/11. So it's not exactly in order, but once you've listened to it from beginning to end, you can kind of piece together, oh, that has to do with this, this has to do with that.
Right. And I found the music just well done. It just a lot of parts really come out with the drama that is really required to underscore some of the statements that are being made. And some of these quotes are more well-known than others. So when some of them are not that well-known, the drama, the music behind it really kind of underscore what's really going on, as opposed to what you're seeing on Fox News or whatever. And regardless where the final truth lies and who, you know, who is Al-Qaeda and who is Muhammad Atta and all that, that regardless of that, it's just... I play it, and I play it over and over. I just... It's very well done. Now, tell us about some of the next tracks that are coming up.
The next track's called Inside Job, Neocons in Strategic Positions. And Neocons in Strategic Positions, I think, is a Jim Fetzer quote. And Inside Job is mostly taken from an interview that Alex Jones did with former German Defense Minister André von Bülow. I believe that's his name.
Was it Klaus or André?
I believe it's
André. It's von Bülow anyway. We'll
yes.
call it that.
And
André, yeah.
Towards the end of the interview, actually, Alex asked him if he would say in German it was an inside job. And so he said it in a few different ways. And I took that and made that the central theme of this song. So this is sort of his, he says there's four options to believe in 9/11. And the song lays all those out. So that's sort of what this song is about. The song after that is called There's a Bomb in the Building. And that is taken from...
We'll get to that in a minute,
sure.
then. So just before we start, we're going to play a few more excerpts. Actually, we're going to end up, I think, playing the whole album here tonight. Tell me just a little bit, though. Is there anything in particular that just sent a little alarm bell off to you in your research, in your just listening to other researchers that said, this is an inside job?
I think you could just take the topic of Building 7 and pretty much look at that.
Yeah, you've got a great quote in there. I'm not sure who says it. Maybe
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah,
says if there's a problem with Building 7, there's a problem with the whole thing.
Yeah, and that's a good statement. But when you think about it, if there's a problem with Building 7, if that building came down in a controlled demolition by itself, then it's not unreasonable to think that there's other buildings that were pre-wired.
Sure.
And if Building 7 wasn't hit by anything, so if you spend time analyzing this Building 7 and what was really going on here, that's the quote, and that says a lot. If there's something wrong with Building 7, there's something wrong with the whole thing. Yeah, I think for me, when I heard they had found the passport of one of the hijackers right out in the street there,
sure.
it reminded me right away of the Martin Luther King assassination when they had blamed, make sure I was going to say right, James Earl Ray. A lot of times people have said something about James Earl Jones, right? You know, no, James Earl Ray. And they had his little duffel bag with the gun and that put down the cement in front of the rooming, the sidewalk in front of the rooming house, you know, right after the shots are fired for them to find. And, oh, it must be James Earl Ray, right? So that kind of evidence being planted right away. As soon as I heard that, it was like, what? And then I think the next day when people were talking about the insider trading, all the insider trading that had gone on,
mm-hmm.
That was another alarm bell for me, saying there's just something wrong with this
sure.
whole picture.
And the fact that the security company that was in charge of Dulles Airport, United Airlines, and the World Trade Center complex, a member of the board of directors was Marvin Bush,
yeah.
and the CEO of the company, up until the day of September 11, 2001, they were on the board. They gave up their... they weren't in charge of security after 9/11, so pretty convenient.
Yeah, so they were able to retire on a high note,
yeah, exactly.
as it were then, right? And have you been to the site? Have you been to the...
Yeah, I lived in Brooklyn in 2000, and so I did actually go and stand right at the corner of World Trade Center 1 and look straight up, and pretty amazing building. And I've been back as well. I actually got married in Brooklyn in 2003.
Hmm.
And my wife's family is from that area, and they actually were downtown on the morning of September 11th. And my my stepmother works on Wall Street and was trapped in a building that day, calling us on a cell phone, thinking this was the last day of her life, and saying her goodbyes to us. So,
Now, do they have any opinions about the idea of an inside job?
No, they're not too interested in that topic.
Yeah, it's strange that. Well, you know, everybody has their own interests. So if you start talking about something political and people aren't interested, and then you're talking about a kind of a subversion of government, it doesn't mean that, you know, that the whole government, but an area somehow controlling, you know, and we're calling the Bush administration, and people have called them neocons. So one area is really has an agenda, and of course it's called the Project for a New American Century, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's leading up to what we're going to hear, some of those things.
Yes.
All right, let's play a little more from the album here. Inside Job, Music to Indict Them By.
The biggest conspiracy theory is the official story. I mean, at every point, it's a fabrication. It's a lie. Would you elaborate on that?
That's why an insider job. That's why an insider job. It must be an inside job. Well, you have fundamentally four options to declare what was going on 9/11. The first option is that it was a strike out of the blue. Nobody knew anything about it.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower. TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, there's one terrible pilot.
That's why an insider job. This was the first first declaration of the administration. They couldn't imagine that airplanes could be hijacked.
Planes have been hijacked.
The second option is they knew, the intelligence community knew quite a lot, the FBI and the CIA, but unfortunately they were not able to bring it together to a whole picture.
I believe the title was Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States.
It must be an inside job. They are from America, get out. They are from America, get out. The CIA had, 14 of these 19 people under control. The FBI had the others under control or knew about them.
And the BBC admits that 7 and 9 are confirmed to still be alive.
The BBC is telling the public 7 were still alive. That's why an insider job. The third option is let it happen.
Howard Dean recently seemed to muse aloud whether you had advanced knowledge of 9/11.
President Bush had prior knowledge of the September 11th attack.
They knew that something is planned, and they didn't interfere in order to use this thing as a pretext bring control around the globe.
A new world order can emerge. A new world order can emerge. A new world order can emerge.
And the fourth option is it was a deliberate act of the administration, or a small part of the administration, in very much insider like. Between the third and the fourth option, probably you have to decide. And that's why an insider job.
The neocons in strategic positions. The neocons in strategic positions.
It must be an inside job.
Sorry, since it's on. Which
sir.
Bomb in the building. Start clearing out.
Got it.
Numerous people covered with dust from the secondary explosion. And we got another explosion on the tower, 1013.
Who's involved in the secondary explosion at Tower 1K? I've got it.
Had a major explosion and what appears to be a complete collapse surrounding the entire area.
We made it about a block.
We made it at least two blocks, and we started running. Floor by floor, instead of popping out.
It had detonated.
Yeah, detonated.
There was a plan to take down a building.
All the way down. I was watching it and running.
Just ran up west.
And then you just saw this cloud of shit chasing you down.
Couldn't outrun it.
I wasn't expecting to see the damage that I saw in the lobby and the people, the bodies, the burnt people, the injured people. I really wasn't prepared for that.
The lobby is about six stories high, and the lobby looked as though a bomb had exploded there.
We got two isolated pockets of fire. We should be able to knock it down with two lines. Radio down. 78th floor. It's moving at 1045.
I went around by the freight elevator and I could see it was just blown. It was just a giant shit.
30th floor. We hear another explosion. And at that time, we heard a huge explosion.
10 o'clock Eastern Time this morning, just collapsing on itself.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed.
We have no idea what caused this. We have no idea what caused this. Building being demolished on purpose.
First one and then the other, some say after secondary explosions.
Almost looks like one of those planned implosions.
We have no idea what caused this.
As if a demolition team set off when you see the old demolitions of these old buildings.
If you wish to bring anybody who's ever watched a building being demolished on purpose knows that if you're going to do this, you have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down. Bring it down. Bring it down.
Chief Albert Turry, he received word of the possibility of a secondary device, that is another bomb going off. He tried to get his men out as quickly as he could, but he said that there was another explosion which took place. The second device, he speculates, was probably planted in the building.
Federal agencies that were down there do believe that there was some sort of explosive device somewhere else besides the planes hitting.
There were two or three similar huge explosions, and the building literally shook. You literally shook at the base of this building.
You have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down. Bring it down. Bring it down.
Big explosion.
In the blue.
Subway tunnel?
Yeah.
Tell us what's happening out there.
We just witnessed some kind of secondary follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center number 2 to 1.
Secondary.
We understand now there has been a secondary explosion on Tower 2.
There was another major explosion. The building itself, literally the top of it, came down, sending smoke and debris everywhere.
We have no idea what caused this.
And we were standing here when there was some sort of collapse or explosion.
You have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down. Bring it down. Bring it down.
Do you know if it was an explosion or if it was a building collapse? To me, it sounded like an explosion.
When I try to save people, the moment we heard a big explosion coming down, everything just went black. Everything came down, glass started popping. People got hurt, stuff went on top of them. And it was a big explosion and everything got dark, real dark, like snow.
The FBI is here, as you can see. They had roped this area off. They were taking photographs and securing this area just prior to that huge explosion that we all heard and felt.
Coming over our radio, get out of the area, the second tower is coming down.
They tell you the second tower is
coming down. Yes, it's about to collapse. It's about to collapse. It's about to collapse. It's about to collapse. It's about to collapse.
You have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down. Bring it down. Bring it down.
David Lee, what can you tell us?
John, just seconds ago there was a huge explosion, and it appears right now the second World Trade Tower has just collapsed.
Well, that was track 9 from the album, Inside Job. And the title of that was The Explosions Being Reported Before the Controlled Demolitions. And there's more than one, because 3 buildings went down that day. I wanted to talk about that. Let's just talk a little bit about bombs in the building and evidence and reporting to that, which inspired you to dedicate a chapter, a song.
Sure. I mean, how can you deny all these reports? I mean, you know, do you think the firemen were mistaken? I don't think so. If they saw a bomb in the building and they're telling each other to clear out because there's a secondary device or a bomb in the building, they should know.
And you scoured, you went through hours and hours of interviews just to find these.
That particular quote, there's a bomb in the building, I think I pulled off of prisonplanet.com one day. And the other quotes are from that Nade Brothers documentary, 9/11. With the firefighters talking about how they
seemed like
detonators planned to take down a building and all that. I think it's just pretty powerful when you pull all those quotes together, you know.
Especially, I think that you can, you know, maybe it's a case of people not having time to look into these, but when you look at Building 7 and you start to look at the different views of Building 7 going down, I mean, this is nothing but a controlled demolition.
No, you'd have to be pretty sick to convince yourself of anything else. I mean, how can you watch that and think that that's the way a building would come down naturally if there were a couple of small fires in it?
And, you know, and there's a kind of a telltale sign to opposition. You know, when people come out to talk to speak in favor of the Warren Commission to support a lone assassin, when you start looking at their reasoning, you find how flawed it is, and it's almost... In spite of the evidence, these people are saying black is white. And when you find opposition to people in the 9/11 research community, such as some of the reports from Popular Mechanics, and that, I find that in spite of evidence and common sense reasoning, they say, well, this is how it could happen, and of course nothing's wrong, right? And there is so much secrecy around it that it just makes you suspicious to start with if you have at all an interest in it, saying, I'm not in the military. I'm not in the U.S. I'm not living in New York. I'm not Saudi Arabian or anything. So I'm just standing at the sidelines and as an interested person looking at the world around him, and I'm interested in what's going on here. And so whoever is finally to blame, it doesn't really bother me. And yet, when you look at all the newscasts, you say, well, that's not right. That's completely erroneous. It's fraudulent. Mm-hmm. And here you find people... such as Scholars for Truth, David Ray Griffin and Jim Fetzer and all those other people who are trying to come together and saying, in spite of what the government's saying and in spite of their committee in which they, George Bush said, well, I'll go down, I'll meet him for lunch, but I'm not going to speak under oath. I mean, why Americans and alarm bells, why they're not rioting in the streets, right? I won't speak under oath? Well, who will? Who is supposed to go there and testify under oath what's going on if not the president? So when he's saying, you know, well, I don't want to get into that. I'll just meet the guys, you know. I mean, they should have impeached him then, right? So,
yeah, he said, what, testifying? I'd be happy to meet with them.
Yeah, yeah, that's the kind of thing. Now, bombs in the building, that like you mentioned, a lot of reporting. And that reminded me of a video that I saw regarding Oklahoma where they, on the scene reporting, the camera crews and that were reporting people, witnesses there saying that we found other unexploded bombs in the building. We found a couple of them. There's bombs. The place has been wired. It's not a fertilizer truck out front, right? Explosive experts have said you can tell by the hole in the circle. I forget what the proper term is for it right now, but you know the specific impulse of the blast will be so much, and it'll be... you know, so many foot-pounds within 10 feet, and then within 30 feet, and then within 50 feet, mm-hmm. and it goes logarithmically, right? You know, so it's dropping off, you know. Another 100 yards is not half, you know, it's a 25th, the pressure, right? So many people have said that the amount of explosive force at ground zero where that truck was, by measuring the hole in the ground there, can be calculated working backwards to where the building was, and then finding columns that were pulverized. Pulverized, meaning, you know, where it broke the glass out and it blew stuff inward, right? A lot of, well, we don't have to talk about Oklahoma right here, but I could go on about that one too. And so it takes a while, it takes years, I think, sometimes for all the witnesses and people to get together and say, well, here's a community. Thanks to the network, I mean, thanks to the internet, people are able to network about this. Mm-hmm. So enough people... it's kind of good that people like David Ray Griffin and Fetzer and those inspired you to make this album, to take it one step further, to make it very easy to understand and add some drama to these quotes and put them, you know, for me in a perspective that, you know, is really, you can give it to a friend and say, listen to this. What do you make of that? Because after you listen to it in this order, these songs and that, you know, it really is going to make someone of, you know, reasonable interest.
Sure. Interesting. And these are scholars, and these are people that have worked in the government, and people that have been a defense minister in Germany. You know, I mean, these aren't just average people on the street speculating about a conspiracy theory. These people are educated, and they know what they're talking about. And I just think that, you know, you put all their quotes together rather than hearing a separate interview, and the strength of their argument is just undeniable.
Yeah, and some of those people, you know, now there are a few disagreements in the community, which is a shame. But I guess it's bound to happen. And to me, it doesn't really matter so much what hit the Pentagon. If they say, listen, the jet hit it, right after it, a cruise missile hit it, or a cruise missile hit the jet, or whatever, or there was no passenger jet, it was just a cruise. Something hit the Pentagon, and the alarm bells for me are, how was anything allowed to hit the Pentagon when America should have been, you know, they were, quote, you know, under attack? How could that even happen? How many people would have been had to told, stand down, you know, we're not going to react? And that's the story. And other people are more interested, and I'm not making any, you know, claim for their case or against it. I just have an interest. But it wouldn't bother me to find out that it was a jet after all, or it wasn't a jet. You know, it was a cruise missile painted up like a jet, or it was both. I mean, it doesn't matter. The fact that they let something hit that. And just so many strange things. Like I say, them finding a passport of one of the hijackers right there at the bottom of Ground Zero. Somebody picked that up. If that wasn't the plant, right, you know.
And did they not report that they found the same passport in two different locations at one point? I remember hearing that as well.
I'm not sure about that point. Because I, you know, much like other people, you only have so much time in the day and the week and that to be interested in other things going on, and so you have time to look into things.
Exactly, another reason why I compiled all of this, because not everybody's interested in going into the archives and listening to these interviews, and you know, if you get the sound bites, which is something that people seem to like these days, short sound bites of information, well, you put them all together for an argument that people would otherwise maybe not have the patience to sit through each individual interview and listen to the very important points that all these people are making.
And thanks to the musical theme that you're able to repeat some of these. So you'll find a quote reoccurring or maybe two or three times in a row to underscore the importance of it, but it's not boring or just rhetorical because there's this kind of musical theme momentum building. And
as I was writing this, I was playing the songs for people, and they were finding that I was cramming a bit too much information into it and suggested I take a few points and just repeat them almost like a chorus. You know, so that is what I did. I went back and I took some key points and played them over and over in a certain tune.
Now, we were just mentioning Building 7. One of the things I did want to mention is that you have put video editing. You've made a video or a couple now?
I think I've actually made maybe 8 now. These tunes, I've turned them into videos. Some of them are much better than others. I haven't seen them all.
Okay, how do people see that?
If you went to YouTube and just plugged in F-I-O-Y, and that's it.
That's figure it out yourself?
Yeah.
F-I-O-Y?
Just search that on YouTube. And it should come up. Yeah, and a couple of the recent videos I had actually did quite well on YouTube. Not that that's very important, but, you know, just for exposure, the one Controlled Demolitions made it to number 5 for the day on the news and politics. So, you know, in 2 days,
that's quite impressive.
About 6,000 people managed to see that, you know. So I think that can be helpful to bring the truth forward.
Okay, let's play the remaining couple of tunes off the album, and then we'll wrap up, and let's get back to this.
The fire teams are in the building. They don't have any reason to believe they're going to collapse. They're saying they can easily control these fires with a couple of lines.
We got two isolated pockets of fire. We should be able to knock it down with 2 lines. Radio that. 78th floor, number 1045, call 1.
But what about WTC-7?
In a controlled demolition?
It wasn't even hit by a building.
In a controlled demolition?
47-story structure has 2 small fires in it. A modern steel building had never collapsed from fire.
How could we have 3 happen in 1 day? A little curious, isn't it? It's a little bit curious. it just seems odd.
Building 7, which of course was not hit by a plane and did not have significant fires in it, collapsed in the way of a classic implosion.
Without any airplane touching it.
The South Tower fell in less than an hour, and the North Tower in only about an hour and a half, so there simply wasn't enough time for that steel to be heated and to melt.
So the 110-story Twin Towers collapsed into a pile of rubble only a few stories high. They fall at virtually free fall speed.
Well, the towers came down in the velocity of free fall, which is totally impossible. They fall down in 8 or 9 or 10 seconds.
All 3 buildings have a sudden beginning. There's a very sudden onset to the collapse. Then the collapse is straight down rather than the buildings falling over.
It's going on in the free fall, you know, in 8 or 6 seconds. A huge building, a skyscraper, is falling down on its footprint. It's totally impossible.
Yeah, and then you've got Silverstein.
Oh, well, Larry Silverstein.
demolition.
The owner or the leader of the building said we tore it down.
And here is Larry Silverstein, the owner who took out $7 million of insurance on the two towers. Here is his statement from America Rebuilds.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull. Then we watched the building collapse.
They made the decision to pull. They made the decision. And this building with two small fires implodes perfectly, and then there's video from every angle of the squibs or the blast points where the plastic explosives are detonating, and you see the ejection ports. You see the blast point.
Now, the big CIA / New York Command Center that was based in Building 7, they had moved out of the building the day before with FEMA, and this is now confirmed by Giuliani. We're running Tripod 2 drill for a terror attack on the facility that very morning.
This is what Dan Rather thought about 20 seconds after Building 7 collapsed. They backed the tape up and played it, and this is what he said live.
And again, what you're seeing are high shots. Now, here we're going to show you a videotape of the collapse itself.
Describe that.
Not a good videotape, the collapse of this building.
It's amazing.
Amazing, incredible, pick your word. For the third time today, reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before, a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
If there's a problem with Building 7, there's a problem with the whole thing. If there's a problem with Building 7, there's a problem with the whole thing.
You gotta keep repeating things over and over and over again.
If there's a problem with Building 7, there's a problem with the whole thing.
For the truth to sink in.
There's a problem with the whole thing.
The trigger for the 9/11 activity was the imminent and unstoppable worldwide financial collapse. Which can only be prevented temporarily by a major war, perhaps to become known as World War III. Semper Fi, Semper Fidelity, always faithful. We were on the verge of a military coup d'etat. In fact, a coup d'etat was pulled on the morning of September 11th, only it was an administrative or what we call a cold coup d'etat. We found that the culprits, including Rumsfeld, were part of a neocon group that had been planning this thing for literally years. Semper Fi, Semper Fidelity, always faithful. Bring it off one more time, martial law will probably be imposed in the United States. The only way we can stop it is with the classic counter coup d'etat. The military ain't gonna take it any longer. 70% of us are with us. Richard Pearl's days are numbered. I don't know if he realizes it. Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz, both of them, their days are numbered. Semper Fi, Semper Fidelity, always faithful.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Hey, fool me, you can't get fooled again. Fool me, you can't get fooled again. First, let me make it very clear, poor people aren't necessarily killers. Just because you happen to be not rich doesn't mean you're willing to kill. Willing to kill.
Kill. Kill all Americans. Kill all Jews. And kill all Christians.
Fool me, you can't get fooled again.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator. As long as I'm the dictator.
It just so happens, by the way, that the security company that had the responsibility not only for the Twin Towers but for Dulles Airport and United Airlines is named Securicom, and a member of the board of directors is Marvin Bush, brother of the president.
Walker, a Bush cousin, it was the president, the CEO.
So there may be an insurance scam going on here.
Larry Silverstein.
We're going to go blow the party for him and get the information out to people.
It'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
I want to see these traitors convicted in courts of law and punished to the maximum extent of the law.
It is up to us to reveal the truth. It is up to us because we owe it to the families, we owe it to the victims, we owe it to everybody whose life was drastically altered.
We're putting all of our chips in the pot. This is for the sake of this nation. The soul of this nation is at stake. What this nation is all about is all revolved around 9/11.
We're going to see if there's anything left of our country.
We have massive evidence, overwhelming objective scientific evidence that the American government was instrumental in bringing about the death of up to 3,000 innocent Americans.
So that's just sort of some ideas. And my job is to like think beyond the immediate.
We're not going to stop. We're getting in their face.
We have it on videotape. It is documented. It is documented. A Luciferian devil worshiper. Already people all over Austin are talking about it. We're not afraid of you. We're not afraid of your minions. In fact, we're waking your minions up every day with the hardcore evidence.
Boom, you can't get fooled again.
George Bush is a conservative. He's not for family values. He is nothing but a Luciferian twit.
United 93, Cleveland.
That the American government was instrumental in bringing about the death of up to 3,000 innocent Americans.
United 93, do you hear Cleveland Center?
Do you see any activity on your right side, smoke or anything like that?
To motivate them to support a fast scheme of projecting American power around the world.
Negative, we're searching.
Which they admitted in their own document probably would never happen.
probably 2 o'clock. It appears to be just a dark cloud, like a puff of black smoke.
Well, that was fool me once, can't get fooled again. We've been speaking to Les Mirza. The album's Inside Job, Music to Indict Them By. We're kind of wrapping up. That's basically a lot of the album. We've played pretty well in order. He has some videos as well. You can find them at YouTube and, of course, in the show notes that we'll post along the interview. We'll make a link to that. A couple of things we wanted to bring up, and you mentioned just while the last song was playing, someone I wasn't familiar with.
Sure, I heard an interview with Colonel Don de Grand Prix, and that made up the song Semper Fi, Semper Fidelity, Always Faithful.
What was his name again, sorry?
Colonel Don de Grand Prix, I believe that's his name.
Right.
And on September 12th or 13th, he assembled a group in Washington. That is 2001, September 12th. And they got together experts, firemen, policemen, Air Force, other military, and they discussed what they thought happened on 9/11. And they submitted that report to the Pentagon, and their conclusion was that it was an inside job and that Rumsfeld played a big part in it, and Richard Pearl and Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz and all those guys. And nobody really ran with that report, except he got a letter back from the Joint Chiefs of Staff that he was in touch with them, and the Pentagon, and they said that they received his report, they have no comment on it at this time, but that they made 500 copies of it and sent them around. And he said that the copies of the report made it to Rumsfeld's desk and made it to the president's desk as well. So they were made aware that this colonel happened to believe it was an inside job. And on the letter from the Pentagon, the last thing they said was Semper Fi, and he read into that. He says, I guess they said that's in the Pentagon, that would mean always on the side of truth.
Always faithful.
Always faithful, yeah. And sort of always with Jesus in a way. And that he took that as a sign that they were well aware of the fact that it was an inside job. And that was just a little wink to him saying, yes, we're always faithful. So we're not faithful to the administration. We're faithful to the truth. But he said that since the American public had been voting in the Bush administration, that there could not be a military coup because there was, you know, it doesn't feel like it, but there was popular support for the president. So if the people are supporting the president, then a military coup would not be welcome. So that was why they could not bring down the government.
I mean, I never thought much of him before. He was kind of a floundering president. And now this is supposed to be a defining mark for him, but it seems he'll be remembered for being just in air about everything that he's tried to touch in the government, and also, you know, previously in his business life, as people had written about him, that every company he ever had seemed to go bankrupt to lose money here.
And bailed out by the Bin Ladens.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I was talking about an episode of The Lone Gunman, which you had not seen, and I've got to urge you, you've got to see that, because if something inspired you to write an album, this might pull another song or two out of it after you see that.
Yeah.
And if anyone out there hasn't seen this, is a spin-off series of the X-Files. The three guys called themselves the Lone Gunman. You know, I haven't watched much of the episodes at all, but I've seen number one. It played, I think, March or April in 2001, and it predicted this kind of thing. And I, you know, don't want to give it away. You haven't seen it. You've got to watch it. It's very well done. It's something I recommend you watch. I'm pretty sure that'll inspire something else. Well, I think that wraps up the album. It's Les's videos are available at YouTube. The album is available. I've made a link here under products at Black Op Radio. So if anybody's interested, I highly recommend this for the audio quality, the fidelity. It's just a pleasure to listen to. So that link goes straight to Les. So good luck with that. Anything that you wanted to bring up about 9/11 or your album we didn't get to yet?
Not really. I just, you know, I want the content of the album to be the most important thing and the music to take a bit of a back seat. It's not so much about impressing anyone with songs and things like that as it is just an opportunity to get the information out in a different form. It's a bit of an archive of very important quotes. And compiled in an interesting way so that, I don't know, it can be a small event when you listen to it, similar to watching a film in a way.
Yeah. Well, we'll hope it's going to inspire another breed of researchers to really, that people who didn't have the time to look into it, to see the, to listen and analyze the job that you've done doing this and decide what, if they want to take this further. So, okay, I guess with that, we'll wrap up. Thanks, Les, for being a guest
on
the show.
Thank you, Len, for having me.
Yeah, and it's a great job you've done with this. Next week, we're going to have Lisa Pease on, and we'll be discussing the Zenith secret and two sides to that story. And I ordered the book myself. I haven't got it yet, so hopefully I'll get that in the next day or two and be able to go through that with her, and we should have Jim Fetzer on again. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the emails. Show number 314, and we'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Black Op Radio, broadcasting weekly from the Fiasco Brothers Recording Studio in Vancouver, Canada. You're listening to the Fiasco Brothers Radio Network. Interviews with Colonel Al Fletcher Prouty, Secrets of the U-2 Flight. We are pleased to announce Volume 1 of Interviews with Colonel Al Fletcher Prouty on DVD. This first one-hour DVD goes through the 1960 U-2 incident with Gary Powers. Colonel Fletcher Prouty reveals his inside knowledge of the incident, his office in the Pentagon, Operation Aquatone, Soviet overflights, and the similar Alan Pope incident. It is Prouty's position that the U-2 flight was sabotaged by the members of a secret team to stop the crusade for peace and embarrass President Eisenhower, thereby heating up the Cold War. And of course, Eisenhower warned everyone of the industrialized military complex that he had learned of firsthand in this incident. You will learn Gary Powers' U-2 never was shot down at 70,000 feet, as claimed in every single history book. Four separate interviews on one DVD, a one-of-a-kind must-have for anyone interested in finding the truth behind the cover story. Interviews with Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, Secrets of the U-2 Flight.
The Assassination of JFK Jr., Murder by Manchurian Candidate.
A new two-hour documentary DVD from the maker of JFK 2, The Bush Connection. Jim Mars said, "I was blown away. I thought I knew all about the JFK Jr. assassination, but this video has added much more to my knowledge." This stunning DVD pieces together the plot to murder John Kennedy Jr. The Assassination of JFK Jr., Murder by Manchurian Candidate. The LA Times called it intriguing, with convincing evidence that foul play and a government cover-up were involved. The Assassination of JFK Jr., Murder by Manchurian Candidate. A meticulous study and scientific presentation of evidence from all the most reliable sources. Jaw-dropping. The Assassination of JFK Jr. DVD, now available at bushkilledjfk.com. www.bushkilledjfk.com. The Assassination of JFK Jr., Murder by Manchurian Candidate.
If you believe there's more to the JFK assassination and the mystery surrounding the CIA and its covert operations, you're not alone. Meet the man Oliver Stone called X in the epic motion picture JFK. Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty comes forward with never-before-seen or heard documentation and information about JFK, the Vietnam War, the CIA, and more on a brand new CD-ROM. The collected works of Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty is an incredible offer not to be missed. For a limited time only, find the answers surrounding these issues and more with the collected works of Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty. Call now at area code 604-525-4167. That's area code 604-525-4167. or visit the Colonel Prouty reference site on the World Wide Web, the collected works of Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty. We can now say, with moral certainty and considerable scientific authority, that the death of JFK was committed by a meticulously executed conspiracy which was obscured by an extensive cover-up. Murder in Dealey Plaza, edited by James Fetzer, goes to the heart of the JFK assassination. You'll read new and up-to-date information regarding the Secret Service, the Lincoln limousine, the medical evidence, the cover-up, altering the film, framing the patsy, and the silent historians. Also, 16 smoking guns, each one crushing the government's lone assassin scenario. A world-class chronology of November 22, 1963. Chapters by David W. Mantic, Gary Aguilar, Vincent Palomara, Douglas Weldon, Jack White, Ira David Wood III, James H. Fetzer, Doug Horn, and a classic essay by Bertrand Russell. The complete story in the pages of one single book, edited by James H. Fetzer. Read it now. Read it again. You'll use it as a reference. Murder in Dealey Plaza. Available at Amazon.com and major bookstores around the world. It's murder. Do you really know what happened on 9/11? Scholars for 9/11 Truth thinks you deserve to know. A nonpartisan association of faculty, students, and expert in fields as diverse as history, science, military affairs, psychology, and philosophy is dedicated to exposing falsehoods and to revealing truths behind 9/11. The Society's members are convinced their research proves the current administration has been dishonest about what happened in New York and Washington, D.C. They include Robert Bowman, who directed the Star Wars program in Republican and Democratic administrations, David Ray Griffin, distinguished theologian from the Claremont Graduate Schools and author of The New Pearl Harbor and the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. Also, Morgan Reynolds, former chief economist for the Department of Labor in the George W. Bush administration, and Andreas von Bülow, former assistant German defense minister, director of the German Secret Service, minister for research and technology, and member of parliament for 25 years. On the basis of their own research, the experts have established that the World Trade Center has to have been brought down by controlled demolitions and that there are serious questions about the Pentagon attack and what actually happened in Pennsylvania. They believe that the government not only permitted 9/11 to occur, but may have even orchestrated these events to instill fear in the American people and manipulated them in order to facilitate its political agenda. If they are right, the American government has been practicing terrorism on the American people. Founded by James H. Fetzer, a philosopher of science from the University of Minnesota Duluth, and Stephen Jones, a professor of physics from Brigham Young University, the scholars are dedicated to exposing the truth and letting the chips fall where they may. To learn more about this fight for truth, or to join the Society and help get the word out, visit its website at st911.org. The American people are entitled to know the truth about their own country.
Black Op Radio is pleased to announce that our archive shows are now available on MP3. Over 200 shows now archived in MP3 format on DVD discs. We've had many requests for this format, with the popularity of iPods and portable MP3 players. Now, you can listen to Black Op Radio anytime, anywhere. Years and years of shows available at your fingertips. Your purchase assists Black Op Radio in continuing to broadcast these one-of-a-kind interviews. Thank you from Black Op Radio.